Gore readings, flesh wound horror freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Shine, joined by producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
And Pugs Dread.
Namaste. What's up, guys?
Nothing much. I'm a little upset because Pugs posted a big spoiler on some wrestling business, but you know, I'll live with it.
For me, also.
I know. Well,
That's Dan logic. You know, he spoiled something. I got it spoiled for me. I'm going to spoil it for him.
I offered that, not to say anything. One of you said, say it.
That was the Hillary Swank of wrestling spoilers, though, by the way. Just so it's.
No, this is an actual spoiler.
I don't consider it a spoiler. So you're all good. But anyways, so we're here tonight to talk about the brand new Shudder series, limited series. Well, I guess that's to be determined, I suppose, because they do.
So what I understand, it's an anthology series. So next season may not have to anything to do with the stories that were told in this one.
Oh, okay. So they've confirmed. All right, that's
they confirmed that they don't. I don't know if they're going to give us a second season, but they're going to treat it like American Horror Story if they do.
Oh, nice. Okay. So, yes, this is actually an Australian series, which I know we're a big fan of Aussie film here. And let's see. It's called Dead House Dark. And in this, in six interconnected short tales of terror, a woman receives a mystery box from the dark web. Each item within will gradually reveal a dark and troubling truth. All right, so there are six of these, and they run between 11 and 15 minutes, from what I recall.
Average about 13, that's where I...
Yeah. Let's see. Well, we kick it off with Halloween, which this one, Halloween night, two young girls encounter a bloody and deserted car crash with a horrifying secret. So this one... all kind of POV in the car. The girls are, you know, kind of fighting about typical teenage girl kind of stuff.
I'm assuming Dan was trying to stab his ears the whole time.
No, they weren't annoying. I don't think teenage girls are as annoying in Australia as they are here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I'm not even arguing with
your accent.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
They could have talked shit on your hat, and you would have heard it with the accent. You would have been like, no, you're right.
They appreciate good hats in Australia.
You know Mick Taylor? Yeah.
You're right? They know to immediately run.
Mick Taylor would be cool. We'd have some beers. We'd be cool, me and Mick.
At Dan the beginning, Creek. Sure.
Okay. That needs to be a shirt now. Dan Creek, that's happening. Not to be confused with cool Dawson. With that work too.
I don't know. Nobody's mistaking me for James Vanderbeek. Maybe now. I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while. Maybe I am close now. I have no idea.
You're more likely to get recognized as Pacey, I think.
I don't get that reference, so I'll just say fuck you, Todd.
No, that was even though
Joshua, whatever. That's his friend.
Yeah,
the filmmaker.
I know the actor.
Yeah, the one from Urban Legend.
Yeah.
Okay, I definitely don't think I'd look like Joshua Jackson. No, maybe.
Joke,
I don't know.
But okay.
Cool. But I could look like Vanderbeek. I haven't seen him in years.
I've seen him more. That's why I went with Pacey, because I haven't seen him forever. Right. I think he popped it. No, I don't remember.
I can't believe you fucking watched Dawson's.
Oh, I didn't. I saw one episode.
Was it the Halloween episode?
The one Kevin Williamson directed, yeah.
And okay. The Murder Dolls were there, which is my buddy Wednesday 13.
Okay. I don't remember. That was years ago. That's the only episode I ever watched. Because what was it on UPN? They pumped the shit out of it from the director of Scream.
WB.
I was gonna say, because you're older than me, so I was like, That show was kind of my generation, and I never watched it, so that would have surprised me.
I only know like stuff from it because my wife watched it. So,
how convenient!
No, this was before, but she honestly talked about it.
Honestly, though, he's the main character. Dawson was a horror fan, so I think you're fine.
Wow, I didn't know that. Well, now I know you're tuned in here. Dead House Dark, we're here talking about Dawson's Creek.
So, what say you?
Surprise, we're doing the swerve, we're switching it up.
Yes, coming soon to Flesh Wound After Dark, we will be reviewing the gay parody Dawson's Crack. All right, on that note.
Dan Solo show.
I stole that joke from somebody, and I'm not sure who it was, so I stole it from you, my bad.
I like the Dan Solo show idea on that one. Patreon exclusive.
All right, so first one was Halloween. Yeah, I read the description.
I think it's called Dash Cam, and then it gives a Halloween date, right?
Yeah, I there's a couple different names I've read. I've seen Halloween Night, Dash Cam.
It's Halloween.
Well,
yeah. On Shudder, it's Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean. But the actual episode title, I believe, says Dash Cam 13 and then the date.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this is like kind of POV from the car. Simple story, but I liked it. I think it had, you know, some decent tension there. I was, as far as like the first episode goes, I was like, okay, I kind of like this. I'm hoping this, not every one is going to be exactly like
that. I see. I thought that was my first thought. Dan was probably like, I hope they're not this all this style.
Yeah, no, I definitely did.
But I do have one. I want to wait to, well, I'm going to go last, but I have one thing to see if you guys thought the same thing. So
what did you think, Pugs?
I was intrigued at the beginning. I don't really give a shit where it landed, though. I'm like, oh, like I don't know. Seeing as many movies and hearing or seeing many stories that we do, I'm like, oh, I wonder if it's going to be one of those. And for like, I don't know how I called it, but I called it because like they don't really telegraph it, but like you just get a feeling. Oh, that's probably them. Okay, whatever. But yeah, I wish I liked it more, but it's not bad. And also, it's fucking like 10 minutes or so. Like, I'm not killing that many time, that much of my time. So I think it's decent, but I'm not in love with it or anything.
Kept making me think of Dead End, the Lin Shaye Ray that's, Weiss movie that I love so much.
That's what I was one of the. it's a Christmas movie. We'll talk about it this year.
For sure. Dude, if you haven't seen it, watch it. Yeah.
Oh, like, no, I said I'd rather watch that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, but yeah, no, that's definitely the vibe I was getting. But that's not the thing. Why do these women, why do these girls have a dash cam? They aren't cops.
When you're in a foreign country, they all do. If you notice, I think it's because like a lot of these places don't have speed limits. So like in order to see who caused a car accident, that's so it's not uncommon for them to have dash cams.
Oh, okay. I learned something new today. So I'll there we go. Yeah, I did like this episode or this entry of the series. I wish it ended stronger. I mean, like, I don't know. I don't think I called it. I just was like, oh, that's what we're doing. But I liked the story, and like the girls weren't annoying, Dan pointed out. I thought it was a solid start. I was interested to see where we went from that first episode.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And all right, let's see episode 2. See if it improves. This one is called No Pain, No Gain, and this follows a competitive runner who is desperate to win at any cost and seeks advice from a very sinister source. All right, so I really like this one. This was like, all right, these are not all going to be exactly the same style as the opener, which, again, I didn't hate the open. It was fine, but I really like this one quite a bit. She keeps getting these calls to do these ridiculous things, and it did remind me a little bit of Pugs and what something he might do. And yeah, just this guy just trying to like motivate her and has her do some pretty sick, twisted things to herself. For 15 minutes, they pack a punch in this story. I thought the lead actress was really good. This was a really awesome 15-minute short. What did you think of this one, Pugs?
This reminded me, or this I should say, if fucking Michelle Carter from I Love You Now Die decided to become a fucking track coach. but yeah, this one, I like this one more than I did the first one. I still wasn't like very impressed, but I'm like, I should be because like we're in and out of these stories and that's what I like. it's strong for what it brings to the table, but yeah, I'm not in love with it, but I thought it was good.
Did you pop the PSA at the end?
Oh, yeah. when she was carving, no pain, no gain on her stomach, I was like, that's cool. You're not a quitter. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe you are.
Cool. I really enjoyed it.
Do I have to post that message at the end of this episode now?
Probably. What did you think, Todd? Because I thought that one was really strong. That turned it around for me.
Yeah, I did. I like this one. Like I said, I like the first one too. But this one came out of the box strong, and you know, Pugs got out the carving, self mutilation, whatever we're gonna call it.
Motivation.
There we go. The motivation tactics. yeah, this also it was like a horror, more like a horror-ish version of convenient. No, not convenient.
Compliance.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like this one. This as of now, the series is getting better as we go, but we're only in episode two.
Yeah. So I would call that one a winner. Three, we have The Staircase, and this one, a group of fame hungry mystery hunters venture down a mysterious staircase to face what lurks in the supernatural darkness. All right. Yeah, kind of a sort of ghost hunters setup, although they're technically, I guess, not ghost hunters specifically, but and the kind of ghost hunters meets As Above, So Below, sort of.
Yeah, that's good.
I like the premise quite a bit. There's some, again, this one packs some pretty solid scares in a short time frame. What did you think, Pugs?
So far out of the three, this is my least favorite. Even though it's still good. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm shitting on these things. I think they're cool for being 10 to 15 minutes. I think this was very well acted, but I don't know. I don't think they were given enough for me to care as much as I should. It's okay.
You wanted a little more story in there for, I kind of get that, because there were a couple of these where I was like, man, I wish it was just a little bit longer.
There's one that's coming up that I want to talk about. And I think, we'll get there. But yeah, this is fine. I thought it was cool, but again, I'm just not like, it's not hitting home for me. Home runs for me.
Okay. How about you, Todd?
I'm actually with Pugs on this one. It started out strong. And it started to lose me, and it never got me back. I don't think it was bad. It didn't work for me.
There's something like As Above, So Below is not a perfect film by any means, I really like it too. Yeah. But there's just something about the idea of that, like actually finding, you know, hell. that I think is kind of cool. Not perfect, but I enjoyed it. So far, I'm well entertained. All right, so the next one is called A Tangled Web We Weave. I'm excited to talk about this one because I'm a big fan of the actor Nicholas Hope, who plays David. A lot of people will remember him from the Aussie cult film Bad Boy Bubby.
I love that movie so much.
That's Bubby.
I'm just going to say real quick, if you've never watched it, you need to watch it with headphones. First time, just watch it with headphones.
Never done that.
No. The director's the one who was like talking about that. Watch it. And I tried it and I was like, all right, it really gets you in there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great, great film, great actor. This one, David and Ellen are on a date, but David just has to deal with a little rat problem first. So it's kind of a theme tonight comparing these stories to movies, but this one kind of, not exactly, but kind of reminded me of Unknown Origin, the Peter Weller film. And also, I guess if you want something more mainstream, Mouse Hunt with violence. And Yeah, this one's actually really entertaining. This could have almost have been a creep show episode in a way.
You know, it's funny. I was gonna say this felt like a season one creep show episode, so we'll see what Bugs agrees or disagrees.
I wish this would have been a fucking season one. Is my turn? I'll go.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
This one, fucking awesome. And it ties in to the next one that we're going to talk about fairly awesomely. Yeah, dude. What's his name? David or real name? Nick? Whatever.
David.
Love him. He's a fucking crazy Larry David. And like that, I just want him and Larry David to go on a fucking murder spree. That would be amazing. I love this fucking story. There's old people trying to find love, which is cool. And then we find out he might, well, I'm going to spoil it. He's a fucking murderer. And like he has, his souvenirs are fucking cool. And fucking homegirl stumbles upon it. I just love it. This is a must watch. If they want to make this into a feature length movie in an including episode 5 a little bit, I'm here for it. This is fucking rad. Love Larry David.
Todd, do you have like a room with a heart on it like that?
No, but I will now. Got to spiffy up the dungeon. Yeah, it was. This one was fun. I'm surprised you liked it, Pugs. It felt like a season one episode to me. I mean, I guess I'm not, but it had that.
I'm like, it has a fucking murderer, a cool old dude. Like, it's all me.
You know what maybe it was? But there's some episodes on season one of Creepshow I'd say the same thing. But I think it was because it felt like you could fall in that world without the bright colors, which is what season one a lot of Creepshow was. And if you want to hear what we think about Creepshow season two, we finish that off tomorrow. So
this had a great ending, too. This was just fun. Like, I just had a really good time with this. And, yeah, Nicholas Hoult, man. You don't hear his name, but he's a great actor. Check out his stuff. All right. So we're on episode 5 now, 5 of 6. And this one was Mystery Box. And this one, a dark web.
Hold on real quick. Am I tripping or was this like a silent movie?
It was pretty close. Yeah.
I don't remember any words being spoken, but anyway, sorry. Go for it.
No, that's okay. So Mystery Box, a dark web mystery box that arrives and a young woman uncovers the sinister secret locked inside. So this one, honestly, I forgot, like, cause I just sat and I watched this. I didn't look up anything about it. I try and, when I can, go in as blind as possible. So at this point, I was like, how are these going to be connected again? And this is kind of it, which it said in the description. And this,
I thought the same thing when going through. I was like, these don't feel connected.
Yeah. I was like, so wait, it's
not... are they all supposed to be connected? Cause I don't think they are, but these 2, 4 and 5 are for goddamn sure are. And even some of 6, yeah. I think.
Don't we see the pictures?
Yeah.
Yes. So. Yes, this one shows, but then that's weird because this one almost felt like it should have been last.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a little strange. I'm kind of curious to hear more about this project. This kind of daughter in distress looking for her mom, trying to get her to come home. And I don't want to say a whole lot about this one, but again, moody, well acted. Like you had said, it's not silent, but it's close to silent.
She spoke words.
I don't remember speaking
on the phone to her mom.
Okay.
And that wasn't a recording. Like she wasn't listening back. She spoke. Actually, spoke.
I'd have to go back and confirm it, but I believe so. Well,
I just remember going, this is a long time without any dialogue, but I am not bored.
No, because like I said, I was like, how the fuck is this? I mean, I was like, well, maybe the last episode will connect it. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed this one.
The last few minutes of this episode connected to the episode 5 wonderfully. And I was like,
yeah,
it's happening. So like these 2 episodes in particular are my favorite of the season. I'll just spoil that right now. I thought this was great. Like, it reminded the it's likely a silent movie for the most part, but like I was just drawn in, and I think maybe the lack of dialogue helped me like get in my zone. But once that reveal happened, I was like, fuck yes to all of this.
Yeah, so definitely don't watch them out of order. I was almost at that point where I was like, well, you don't, you know, if there were some turds in the punch bowl, I would have said you could skip a few of these. But no, you don't want to. Todd, what do you think of Mystery Box?
Or do we? We still got one left. yeah, I'm with you guys. This is the second half of the best episode of this whole thing. Yeah, I mean, you guys nailed it. I mean, this one's they're the two standouts. I mean, so maybe if more would have been connected, like obviously connected, it would have, you know, helped jump out. But
absolutely. Yeah.
Once I saw 4 and 5, I'm like, let's see if 6 can bring it home. He's like, well, I'm fucking in now.
Let's find out, Dan.
All right, so our last one, 6, is My Empire of Dirt.
Fucking this... metal Nine Inch Nails quote. And it's a Bible quote too, but whatever.
That's what the...
Johnny Cash, isn't it?
See, I was waiting for Dan to fuck it up. Don't let it...
Johnny Cash.
Sure, but... Hurt is a Nine Inch Nails song, and Johnny Cash re-recorded it and made it better. I will admit that. Okay. And he gave it to him. He's like, yeah, Johnny Cash singing my song. This is fucking awesome.
I was waiting for Dan if he was going to do it. So I was quiet.
That's pretty common.
I rarely know like the music stuff like you do.
So. But if I brought up Man in a Box, whose wrestling theme is that, Dan would be like, bah.
Oh, right.
Tommy Dreamer.
No hesitation.
All right. So My Empire of Dirt. This one, a deaf midwife is tasked with helping a sick woman ease into a peaceful goodbye, despite being haunted by her past. All right. So I love just the look and the mood of this, the squalor that this woman is living in is just, oh, insane. It's very depressing episode, but really good. When she finds the room with like piss jars and tampon, all this like hoarders. Horrific shit. Oh god. Yeah. Hardcore hoarders are a nightmare. I've known a couple that qualify for what you saw on that show they did years ago.
Well, and any hoarders out there that like our product, by all means, buy all the shit you want.
Yes. Yes. Keep it all. Keep it next to your piss jars. We're right. Good. And your pizza box.
You can line them with your piss jars all week.
Just buy the merch.
Very absorbent, I'll just say it.
Fleshwoundfeatures.com, where you can find the link to our Teespring store.
Well, if we're pimping it out early, I'm throwing the graphic up. Bam, there you go.
There you go.
There's some of the designs. So we'll pimp it out again.
Mother's Day is getting really close. So if you want that ILF shirt,
get the ILF shirt.
Time sensitive.
Yeah.
So this drew me in right away. And it's a very scary episode, too. Just some of those brief, like, little glimpses of the threat I thought were really effective and well done. I had a blast again, less than 15 minutes. And I thought they did an amazing job with this. I really liked the atmosphere and just the hellish nightmare world that this lady was living in. What did you think, Pugs?
As strong as this episode is and as good as this episode is, I was still let down because of the last two. I wanted that more of what I had before. Mm-hmm. That takes nothing away from this. Dan is completely correct. It's creepy. It's fucking gross. And it's very depressing. Like very fucking sad. Like the makeup job they did on the sick lady. Oh my god. I just want to give her a hug and like help her fucking like not like Kevorkian style, but you know, just like wipe her mouth and shit. There, like, you need a break.
It reminded me of an iconic Claire Higgins scene in Hellraiser 2. Also, there's a scene in there that I thought was pretty cool. How about you, Todd? Did you like this one as much as I did?
Yeah, and you know, I noticed, and this one really brings it home, these are all just so small cast-wise, and I think that helps keep the times down. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I still, placement wise, I get why it's a strong closer, but I kind of think the two connected should have been the ones. But yeah, this was another one, another standout, and I really did like it too.
Wasn't there a photo of one of the murder victims in all that clutter and hoarding stuff?
Yeah, I thought there was some in the last one too. I think that's like the only connection, like with the rest, is there some photos.
Like, I want to know if fucking Larry David was texting that bitch to carve herself, because like he didn't sound like him on the phone, but you can get one of those Scream voice changers like Todd loves. No,
Scream 3 voice changer. You gotta be specific.
What's those screams in the background? Shut up and do what I say. all right, so let's go ahead and rate it overall. 0 to 5 stars, as always. I'm going to give the whole product a 3.5. I don't think it's a classic, but I can honestly say 6 stories, I liked them all. There was just one that was just, you know, that's pretty damn good, honestly.
And you're spending about as much time as you are watching a movie.
So, yeah.
A little longer.
for me, I would go 3.5 too, but 4 and 5, especially 4, is just too strong. I'll give it a 4.
Nice.
I'm with Dan on this 3.5, but those two are super strong, and I think,
yeah.
Damn, now I'm rethinking. Maybe it should be a 4 because those are so much stronger.
They were fucking great. Like, dude, Larry David being a murderer, a serial murderer of women, and he's preying online. Like fucking, I don't know what an old people fucking Plenty of Fish is or J Day.
Looked like he was on like just like a senior. I don't know.
Yeah, like a dating website, and that's fucking
eHarmony,
awesome.
I guess, is the old person one.
That's the one I'm looking for.
Dan, apparently, we know what Dan won't use.
I was like J Day.
No, eHarmony.
I know because I signed up for it like 7 years ago, and I was
Christian
like,
Mingle. Fucker. Farmers Only.
Should have got some of them cougars or grand cougars. I don't know what they are. Pugs convinced me I'm a 4.
All right.
There we go.
I just really think episode 4 is just really fucking solid. I want a whole fucking movie on him. Yeah.
You could certainly do it. And 6, I would say as well. Although I was like, shit, I just love the look of this damn thing. All right, so guys, be sure to like, share, subscribe, and hit that notification bell if you haven't already. Also, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures. We do have the Cornelius Collection episode where we tackle Super Hornio Brothers coming up. Just some teases for some future shows. We have our Full Moon show with Christian Hannah Harrer coming soon. Which was really, really good. So make sure you listen to that. We've got the Creep Show one coming up soon. We've got all kinds of stuff. We've got a full slate that we're working on. So check those out.
And we got some Vinegar Syndrome reviews coming up too.
Yes, we will have another Vinegar Syndrome show as well.
And Dark Side of the Ring is returning. So maybe.
Oh no, we're doing it.
Okay. Awesome. We're in civil society.
Who does not want to talk about Brian Pillman?
Also, the A&E documentaries have been pretty good too, so we can probably talk some shit on that too.
All right. Well, on that note,
Guten Tag. Good night.
Well, he got ahead of him.
That's cool. You know, tell him good night, Todd.
All right, I'll shine.
And falls across all the social media bullshits. Run all of them. Thank you for joining us, and I'll see you in Disneyland.